This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Be sure and join us at AFR.net, AFR.net, for all the American Family Radio programs. Those of you that are joining me in the tavern, I'm doing a dual production today because when I saw that President Trump was ordering the census to be redone, like I've been screaming, I'm not kidding, for more than a decade, I've been calling for this. And of course, you know, my bullhorn is pretty small compared to a lot of other people, especially 10 years ago, actually 12 years ago when I first started talking about this. But now, we finally got a president that'll actually do it. And so in the last 6 months, I've really amped up that call. And then a lot of other people started talking about it, Charlie Kirk and some others, and that really added fuel to the fire. Had some friends and, colleagues and Patriot Academy graduates working in Congress and serving in Congress and working in the White House that had enough oomph to start planting the seeds and getting this discussion going 6 months ago. And here we are 6 months later. This is massive, folks. This is massive. Okay, so let me just read to you what President Trump has said. I have not seen the actual executive order. I'm going to try to find that and read that as well. But this is what President Trump said. He said, I have instructed our Department of Commerce to immediately begin work on a new and highly accurate census based on modern-day facts and figures, and importantly, using the results and information gained from the presidential election of 2024. People who are in our country illegally will not, all caps he says, will not be counted in the census. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Okay, I just talked about this last night at our church in Fredericksburg. So I go to this church, wonderful church in Fredericksburg called The Bridge. Our pastor, Jimmy Pruitt, I talk about him on the program all the time. But he has allowed us to do our new course, Rebuilding Liberty. And last night was the opening session of this new course, Rebuilding Liberty, which is just now launching and really kind of hasn't launched yet because we're still getting the workbook and all that stuff done. It'll launch with Constitution Day later next month. But anyway, we're kind of, you know, preloading it at our church. And so it's a four-week course. We're doing it on Wednesday nights. My buddy Jonathan Edwards is the one that's hosting it. And so Jonathan and Pastor Brian and Pastor Jimmy asked me to come out last night and just do some Q&A when the first class video was over. Well, guess what one of the questions led to was all about the Texas Democrats fleeing, all about them running off with their tail between their legs, hiding in these other states to try to prevent Texas from redistricting. So as soon as I was asked about that, that of course led to what I talked about on Tuesday here on the program and on Monday here in the tavern. And that is the reason redistricting is appropriate right now is because of the misrepresentation, the overrepresentation of the Democrats in the United States Congress right now. They cheated on the census. They lied on the census. Now, the Constitution doesn't use the word census. It calls for an enumeration. So the only thing they should be doing over at the Census Bureau is counting legal citizens and then telling us how many are in each state and then dividing by the population 435 and deciding which states get which. which states get how many congressmen. And then each state turns around and decides where the district lines will be for their members of Congress. So again, backing up, this is how it's supposed to work. Constitution requires that at least every 10 years, you can do it more than every 10 years, but at least every 10 years, that the federal government counts the number of legal citizens in America. They're supposed to do it a hand count, an actual find out, go to each house and count how many legal citizens are in each house. You're not supposed to be doing this statistical extrapolation that they do. Justice Thomas and others have shown that. They've gone back to the founding era. There were discussions back then. They knew that data and stats could be manipulated, as former Congressman Joe Barton from Texas said in my documentary about Ronald Reagan 30 years ago. 31 years ago. Wowzers. Anyway, he said in that documentary, he was talking about Clinton at the time, and he said, you know, figures can lie and liars can figure. And basically what that means is you can manipulate the data to get the end results you want. And that's what the Democrats have done with the enumeration. So instead of just counting how many people are out there and then dividing and making it easy and then sending that to the states and saying, hey, Texas, you get 40 members of Congress. Hey, California, you get 55. Hey, Wyoming, you only get one. West Virginia, you get one. And for those states that have more than one, then their state legislatures divide up the state by population and decide where those lines are going to be for how those congressional lines are drawn. So in Texas, if, you know, easy math, four, I think we only have 38, but if it was 40, for easy math, you got, you know, 40 million people. It's actually about 30 million. But again, easy math. Let's just say Texas was 40 million with 40 seats. You got a million people in each congressional district. You got to figure out where those lines are going to be. So you got to split up cities like Dallas and Houston and San Antonio and Austin. And then you're going to have huge districts where some congressmen have, you know, 25, 30, 40 counties all out through West Texas or South Texas. And somebody's got to decide that, and they got to draw those lines and figure out where those 40 districts are going to be divided up. Well, the somebody is the legislature. And so the reason the Democrats of Texas, the state house Democrats, have run off and hid like little cowards, like the little sniveling, snot-nosed kid on the basketball court that doesn't like the way the game's going, so he takes his basketball and runs off and hides, you know, and doesn't want anybody else to be able to play either. That's what these Democrats are doing. And the reason they're doing that is because they don't want the lines to be drawn in such a way that will cause more Republicans to be elected from Texas. And you say, well, how could you do that? Well, because what you do is you pack the Democrats into where they're like 80% Democrat districts, and you make your Republican districts like 55% Republican districts. And so you end up with more Republicans than Democrats. You pack the Democrats in. That's what Democrats did to Republicans for 150 years here in Texas. And whoever draws the lines does this. Okay, this is an equal opportunity business. No one has ever drawn just equally fair lines where no politics was taken into account. That's never, ever, ever happened, because human nature is involved every time you redraw the lines and you do redistricting. That's why, as I said Tuesday on our program, gerrymandering is the name for this, and it goes back to a founding father, yes, at the beginning of the nation, named Elbridge Gerry. And Elbridge Gerry was a signer of the Declaration of Independence who also had been a governor of Massachusetts. He went on to be vice president of the United States. I think he actually died while vice president. But anyway, he was governor of Massachusetts, and the district lines being redrawn, just like they're done today, it looked like one of the districts looked like a salamander. And so because he supported this redistricting and this packing and getting the people from his party that he wanted, I don't remember what party he was, Federalist, Anti-Federalist, Anti-Mason, whatever. It was to benefit his particular party. So the salamander, Elbridge Gerry, they called it gerrymandering. Okay, yeah, 200 years ago. So you're always going to have that. And when the states redraw the lines, politics is going to play a part of it, and that's exactly what has happened here. The Democrats have run off to try to stop this from happening, stop the Republicans from getting five more seats out of Texas. But let's not forget, the Democrats have about 20 extra seats in Washington, D.C. that they should not have because they cheated and lied in 2020 with the census and in previous years as well. But specifically in 2021, as soon as Joe Biden took office on January 20th, 2021, they tweaked the formula. Now, they had already manipulated the data behind the scenes in the Census Bureau. Donald Trump had lost a Supreme Court challenge trying to not count illegals, trying to get this thing corrected. And so it was a mix of what was going on with the courts and what was going on with the Census Bureau and what was going on with Joe Biden when he first came in office. When I say he tweaked the formula, that's the statistical information. extrapolation that they do. And he did that in order to save California a seat, and I think it was New York and a couple others, that would have gone to places like Tennessee and Texas and other red states that were growing like crazy while these blue states were shrinking. Okay, so that's the backdrop of all of this. Now, 15 years ago, when we first recorded our first Constitution class, and I explained this clause out of the Constitution, I said back then, you should only be counting legal citizens. The fact that we sometimes count illegals back then, sometimes, depending on who was in charge, the fact that we're asking how many bathrooms you have in your house, the fact that some people get 100 questionnaire, that all of that, unconstitutional, shouldn't be done. It should just be how many people live in your house that are U.S. citizens. Total it up, send it in, and that's how you end up with your congressional redistricting based on that census data and your state lines and all of that as well. Okay. No one listened. I felt like no one was listening. I thought no one was going to join in on this until Donald Trump gets elected. And of course, it had become, you know, pretty obvious. People were starting to write articles about how many seats in Congress were going to the Democrats that wouldn't if you didn't count illegals. And the reason you have extra Democrats when you count illegals is because Democrats create these sanctuary cities where they invite illegals to come. And so that gives you more population if you include illegal aliens in those blue cities. And if you have more population in those blue cities, then you get more population in the state. And that state gets more congressional lines or congressional seats. And then they get more congressional seats in those blue cities specifically where you get Democrats elected. Okay, that's the game. That was the whole reason for opening the border. This is part of responding to Biden's treasonous open border with all the crime happening in the country. That's all horrible and terrible, but it also skewed the numbers on the census and would have continued to do so had Donald Trump not did what he did today. This is massive. This is reversing one of the worst frauds in history. And what I mean by that is you have a fraudulent Congress right now. You only have a three-vote majority in the House because of this fraud. Three-vote majority for Republicans. You wouldn't have even had a Democrat majority in the last 10 years if this fraud had not been perpetrated for years and years and years. You certainly would not have as close of a Congress as you have right now. You would have a 43-vote majority, most likely, maybe 33, but as many as 20 seats would flip if you stopped counting illegals. So if you flip 20 seats, you go from a 3-vote majority to a 40-vote majority because the D's lose 20 and the R's gain 20. What does that mean? How does that affect you? It means all the pork, all the nonsense, well, not all of it, but a lot of it would have been stopped. The big, beautiful bill would have been an actually beautiful bill without the Christmas tree on there because the Republicans and Mike Johnson would have had the votes to be able to stop a lot of that nonsense where they didn't have that. To get a 3-vote majority pass a bill like that, he had to make deals and cobble together votes, and a lot of people got, you know, favors and junk in the bill that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So this changes everything. If they actually do this, and Donald Trump, I've been asking for this, again, for 15 years, 6 months ago, as soon as Trump got elected, started talking about it, started feeding information to the White House and all these people saying, we have to do this. Not a lot of people started responding, but thank God for Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk echoed what I'd been saying in March. And when he said that on March, I think it was March 25th, all of a sudden, a few more people started listening. And then a few more commentators started talking about it. And then I started shouting it even louder. And then we got this big debate going in Washington, D.C. over it. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a bill to do this. And then Donald Trump said he wanted to do it. And now, today, he has done it. So I'm going to read this again before we go to break. I have instructed our Department of Commerce to immediately begin work on a new and highly accurate census based on modern-day facts and figures, and importantly, using the results of information gained from the presidential election of 2024. People who are in our country illegally will not be counted in the census. Massive. And then he says, thank you for your attention to this matter. Yes, we're going to give this huge attention, President Trump, because this is a game changer. What does this do? Now, here's what should happen. I don't know if this will happen or not, but here's what should happen. This order from the president should cause the Department of Commerce, and I think he has still not appointed his new census director. That was true a few months ago when we were really pushing for this. I need to look that up. But if he has, then he can order that person to do it. Right now, I think he's just ordered the Department of Commerce in general to do it. What should happen is, I mean, in 48 hours, the data is all there. They could go in and immediately remove all illegal aliens, immediately get the calculation done right, and send that new information back to the states, and all 50 states should have to redistrict. What Texas is doing right now, what Florida's talking about doing in other states, All 50 states should be called into special session right now, redraw their lines. They can do it in 2 weeks and have it done. That's what should happen. I don't think that will happen. I think they'll take a while. This will be debated all over the place. There'll be lawsuits to try to stop it. It'll have to go to the Supreme Court. And more than likely, it's going to take a month or two to finally get new census data, which means then states like Texas that are redrawing the lines are going to have to redraw the lines very quickly. And then that means that the actual elections of 2026, don't forget, we got primaries in just a few months, filing deadlines in just a few months. So this thing is going to be at a rapid, rapid pace. It absolutely can be done. I remember years where the courts threw out district lines and they had to be redrawn in a matter of days, and it was last minute before the filing deadline. So this can be done, and it can absolutely change the game for getting the MAGA agenda passed. Not just done through executive orders, but done in Congress. All right, everybody, stay with me. We're going to be talking about this more. We'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we're going to the Holy Land on a tour in March of 2026. We can't wait to go back. My wife, Allison, and I have been leading these tours for over two decades, nearly three decades. And we are going in March of 2026 to Israel. See all the places that you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. Bethlehem, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, all of it. We'll be going there. And also my sons Walker and Wesley Wildman will be going to Greece on a Footsteps of Paul tour. You can do either the Holy Land trip or the Footsteps of Paul Greece tour, or both. For all the information on these tours, go to wildmangroup.com, wildmongroup.com. to get all the information on the 2026 March Israel and Greece tours.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
All right, welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. We are talking about this massive, massive decision by President Trump that is doing exactly what we've been calling for 15 years, but really hard for the last few months. I mean, I've talked about this everywhere I possibly can, and so I'm just over the moon right now. And by the way, it's in our book, so Rebuilding Liberty, a blueprint for rebuilding liberty just in time for America's 250th. I got, you know, a 12-step program in here, and no, it's not like your personal 12-step program. You don't have to do all 12 steps. You just got to pick one. You know, you can do the Ten Commandments in your local school. You can do, you know, host the Rebuilding Liberty class or some other classes. But I just want to, I want you to know right here in this book written months ago, step number 10, check this out. Count only legal citizens in the enumeration. Yes, enumeration. The constitutional word for the census. Allow only legal citizens to vote and require voter ID to prove it. Yes, this requires a constitutional amendment, which is the proper way to alter our government at this level. In terms of the voter ID thing, not the citizen, the census part or the enumeration and the counting part, that's just the agency that does it. So the president has authority to order them to do this. But requiring voter ID, that does require a constitutional amendment simply because of all the bad Supreme Court decisions and bad state decisions. Anyway, I just wanted you to know this has been part of our 250th Rebuilding Liberty to Restore America. This is one of the 12 steps. And now the president is ordering that it be done. I didn't think it would happen. I thought it would be 2028 at best before we got this done. Maybe, you know, most likely, as I even say in the videos of the course, probably going to be 2030 before it gets done. But let's start the work now and make sure it's done by 2030. But look at here, folks. Donald Trump is not sitting around waiting. He is not sitting around, you know, just hoping somebody will solve this thing. He is doing exactly what we have called for and asked for him to do. So I'm going to back up, do a little bit more constitutional education today while we have the opportunity to focus in on this particular subject. And I was trying to remember who posted that for me. Joe. Thank you, Joe, for putting this in here. So, yeah, let's just go to the actual clause in the Constitution. It's Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned. Now, remember, this is before the 16th Amendment. This is how tax, if you're going to have an income tax, this is how it should have been, basically a capitation tax where everybody, tax everybody pays the same. Anyway, this is the original language. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound to service for a term of years and excluding Indians not taxed, 3/5 of all other persons. Now, that's the original language before you get 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments and all those things. The reason I'm reading that to you is to amplify the fact that Indians at that time on the reservation, they're not really citizens. They didn't get a lot of the other participations in society. They didn't have to pay taxes. They didn't have to do any of those things. And so they weren't counted in the enumeration. Very similar to our illegal aliens that come into the nation illegally, or a visiting citizen, someone that's here legally, but they're not a citizen. They shouldn't be counted in the enumeration. Okay, so the actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of the Congress of the United States and within every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall by law direct. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative until such enumeration shall be made, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so the point is enumeration, and all it's talking about is counting legal citizens so that you can then divide up the representation in Congress. Now, notice there's nothing in Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 about how many members of Congress. So we have 435. That is set by law. So that's why that clause right there says, according to shall be determined, wait, sorry, lost my clause, in such manner as they shall by law direct. So Congress gets to set how many members of Congress there's going to be, and that's been done for obviously a very, very long time. Okay, so all of that to say, absolutely, we should only be counting legal citizens, and the president is now demanding that that happen. So what happens next? We'll see how fast they do it. If they go in there, and I guarantee you, man, just send in Elon's team, send in these guys that are data wizards, they'll figure this out in 48 hours, like I said. I could probably figure it out in 48 hours. I'm pretty good with spreadsheets and Excel. Give me that data. Take out the illegal aliens and divide it up by the 50 states. Figure out where your population is. Divide that by the 435, and boom, you've got your representation for each of the states. And then you let each state go back in and do their redistricting and figure out where the lines are going to be drawn. Guarantee you, if they do this, it's a whole new ball game for the MAGA agenda. All of those things that they're barely getting through, or they're not getting through, or they're having to, as I said in the first segment, load up the bills like a Christmas tree in order to get the votes. Major game change. If you have a 30 to 40, maybe even 45 vote majority in Congress after the 2026 election, can you imagine what Donald Trump will do in the last 2 years of his presidency? Can you imagine how much of a return to constitutional governance we'll see? Look at what he's done in the first 6 months. Look at what he's done with a 3-vote majority in the House and only a handful of votes majority in the Senate. Imagine what he'll do in the last 2 years of his presidency. There's not going to be a third term, okay? But imagine what he would do in the last 2 years with a decent majority in Congress, how much we can return our constitutional republic. I hope that he comes out for a convention of states and we get some constitutional amendments to cement a lot of these things so that they aren't just temporary fixes. Remember, whatever President Trump does, whatever he does with an executive order, whatever he does with the census or I'm sorry, the enumeration, whatever he does with any of these issues, it's temporary. And if for whatever reason, don't forget how fickle the American people are. If for whatever reason, George H.W. Bush was at 90% approval when he went into Iraq in 1991, and then a year later loses the election to Bill Clinton, okay? So as popular as Donald Trump is right now, and as popular as these things will continue to make him be, that doesn't guarantee J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or Pete Hegseth or Ted Cruz or whoever the nominee is going to be in 2028 is going to win. There is zero guarantee of that. And as fickle as the American people are, and as good as the Democrats are at manipulating public opinion and cheating and lying and all the things that they do, there is no guarantee at all. So we're down to 3 years and 6 months, 5 months, of being able to get some things cemented into our Constitution so that it's very, very hard for them to remove them or to change them. And this is one of them. Okay, so first he's got to do it as he's doing it, by executive order and by a command to the census to do what the executive is saying. He's chief executive. He is literally executing the law as Article 2 in the Constitution commands him to do. It's not even optional. And so all he's doing with this statement is saying, we're going to follow the law. We're going to do this the right way. No cheating. No counting people from around the world that are not American citizens in the American enumeration of citizens. I mean, it's just that should be common sense. The only reason anyone would want to count illegal aliens, count people that are not citizens of this country in the apportionment of our members of Congress is if they want to cheat. If they're willing to cheat to get what they want, if they're willing to lie, which let's face it, if you don't come from a biblical worldview, if you don't have a concept of right and wrong, if you don't love the Declaration of Independence where it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, then you're all for cheating. You have no problem cheating. You believe the end justifies the means. And these people actually believe that. They think it's okay to cheat in order to, in their mind, save democracy. They believe, Donald Trump and you and me, that we are a threat to democracy. And I would say, absolutely, we're a threat to democracy because America is not a democracy. The founding fathers called it mobocracy, one of the greatest of evils, and that it always ends in violence. We don't want to be a democracy. So, yes, we're a threat to democracy. We are for a constitutional republic, and we'll fight day and night. I will speak till I'm blue in the face about why a constitutional republic is better than a democracy. So Donald Trump is the biggest threat to their efforts to move towards democracy, to move towards tyranny and control, to move towards mob rule, which is what they really want. He's the biggest threat that's ever come along in my lifetime, for sure. And that's why they've been trying to destroy him. Look at what he's doing here. I mean, this is one of the boldest moves that I have ever seen. I would, if you had asked me to bet on this as to whether or not Donald Trump would do this and actually demand that the census be redone and it be an actual enumeration of citizens, I would have said no. I would have said even with all that he's doing, this one is just too different. Nobody's done it in our lifetime. And so all the time I'm out here saying he should do it, I didn't think he would. I was hoping he would. I was praying that he would. But I thought, you know, there's too much going on. And so when this started, you know, when we started planting these seeds and getting a lot of people talking about this and I started hearing back from people in Washington, it was like, I mean, you know, it's not looking good. There's too much pushback. It's just kind of too far out there with everything else that the president's doing. You only have so many political chits, you know. You got to play your chits and make sure that you know, focus on the most important things. And they have to decide that every day. They're there and trying to decide, what do we do with today with the political power that we have? So I understood that, and I did not expect it to get pushed over the hump. And here we are, folks. This will be a game changer for decades and decades and decades. Because think about what's going to happen after this. Not only is this going to change the makeup of Congress today, or not today, but after 2026, not only is this going to change the redistricting and the congressional lines all over the country, but think about what they'll have to do to come back in and change it back. In other words, let's say we get this done. Let's say the president's order is followed by the Department of Commerce. They do this. The Census Bureau redoes the census. We take out illegal aliens, and it causes California to lose two or three seats, causes Washington State to lose a seat, causes Massachusetts and New York and some of these states to lose a seat or two here. Texas is going to pick up seats. Oklahoma is going to pick up seats. Arkansas is going to pick up seats. All these red states are going to pick up seats. It's going to shift the balance of power in Washington, D.C. And even within the states that don't lose seats, it'll shift the congressional lines in those states because, I mean, let's take Nebraska. You got two congressional seats out of Nebraska, I think it is, and you got that one out of Omaha that's always a 50-50 district because of counting illegal aliens. If you take out the illegal aliens in the big cities, because remember, most of them, the influx is into the blue cities, all right? And so if you take that part of the population out because it shouldn't be counted, then the blue part of Omaha has fewer of the representation, fewer of the number of a congressional district, which means what? You have more of the district going out into the redder areas of Nebraska, which means now a person running in that seat can be more conservative and be more likely to get elected. So not only do you end up with more seats from red states, you end up with redder seats where you get more conservative members elected and you get more Republicans elected. So you get a better majority. So you, like I was saying earlier, it's easier to get the good stuff passed. You get more people like Chip Roy and Thomas Massie and the kind of people like Mary Miller out of Illinois and the champions that will fight for truth. You get some folks that'll stand firm. And so it's a game changer in terms of this Congress, this next Congress, which means it's a game changer also in the presidential election of 2028. We hadn't even talked about that yet. If the enumeration is done correctly, when I'm talking about congressional seats being removed from California and New York and these places, what does that also mean? Those of you that have taken my Constitution class, that means the Electoral College changes. That means now you move seats in the Electoral College to red states and away from blue states. So remember how in the presidential election, on election night, everybody's counting, you got to get to 270, you got to get to 270, you got to get to 270. Why? Because 270 is a majority of the Electoral College. Well, what is the Electoral College? The Electoral College is every state getting two senators, okay? So each 100 of the 535 Then you have three in D.C. They get three electoral votes. That was the 23rd Amendment. And then each state has additional members of the Electoral College based on how many members of Congress they have. So let's go through the list now, or go through the steps. Donald Trump orders the census to be redone without illegal aliens. The numbers change so that California loses a couple seats. Texas picks up a couple seats. Draws their lines, and you end up with more Republican members of Congress coming from Texas that'll be in the 2026 Congress, or the Congress after the 2026 election. Then the 2028 presidential race comes along, and now Texas has two additional votes in the Electoral College, and California has two less. Then do that all over the country. If 20 members of Congress change, then that means that 20 electoral votes could potentially change. That means now you've got a totally different map that everybody's running on in the presidential election. That means you've also got a better chance of a Republican winning the presidential election. It means you have a better Congress. Do you see where this is going, people? This is making the change and the MAGA movement long-term. This is giving us the ability to win this long-term. And then, back to what I was saying earlier, how does the left reverse this? How do Democrats reverse this? What do they have to do? Now that people realize how big of a difference it made to count illegal aliens, they have to sell the American people on counting illegal aliens. See, they haven't had to do that up till now. They did this in the dark of night. They snuck this stuff in little by little by little. They never went out to the American people and said, oh, it's time to do the representation of Congress and the census, and we're gonna make sure that we count all these people that came into the country illegally. We're going to count MS-13 gang members and rapists and murderers and criminals that came here from all of these South American countries emptying their prisons, and all these Chinese nationalists and others. We think they should be counted in the census. They should have some say in how our country is run. Are you kidding me? They got to sell that to the American people in order to reverse it, because now we're cognizant. Now we've educated the American people. That's why it's one of our major steps in the 12-step program. I know I'm starting to rant a little bit, folks, but I mean, come on. This is exciting. I forget now. I think it's step 9. I forget my steps. Let's see. Let me make sure I get this right. It is step 10, maybe. No, it's step 9. No, it's step 10. I'm going to read it again as we go to break. Count only legal citizens in the enumeration. That's step 10 in our 12-step recovery program to save the nation, to rebuild liberty, to make sure we're passing the torch of freedom to our children and our grandchildren. We're already doing it, folks. We're laying the right bricks. We're putting the right mortar in. We're rebuilding the walls so that American freedom can last for future generations. Thank you, Donald Trump, for doing this, for responding to the calls for this to happen. All right, we're going to take your calls when we come back, and I'll read some of the questions from the chat. 888-589-8840. We're doing a multi-broadcast today. I'm on this is At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green, our daily radio program on American Family Radio, and then we're also live in the Tavern on Facebook and X and YouTube. So stay with us. We'll be back. 888-589-8840 if you want to call in or ask your questions in the chat. You're listening to At the Core.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. We'll give one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend. With it, more than 30,000 young people have come to Christ over the years.
So I tried to commit suicide and I was put in the hospital. One of my friends from school, she came up to me and just started visiting with me at the hospital, and she gave me a Truth for Youth Bible. So I haven't been the same since.
The Truth for Youth Bible consists of the entire New Testament and full-color comics, which present the gospel and moral truths. Parents can order the Bible on behalf of their son or daughter, or teens can call to get one.
We saw so many lives changed and seeds planted in the hearts of our students.
Visit tfy.org anytime or call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. to order or donate. It's Truth for Youth Bible Week with Revival Fires International. This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're talking about step number 10 out of Rebuilding Liberty. We haven't even released the final book yet, only the advanced draft, and only a few hundred people got that. And the course has been, we did do one national course and a few thousand people did that. And we had started doing it at my church last night. And a couple of quite a few of our coaches have already scheduled their classes and started having them. I think we'll have thousands of these classes going by the fall once we have all the workbook and everything ready to go. So the fact that step 10 out of our 12-step recovery program, that such huge progress is being made on it. And frankly, some of our other steps, getting the Ten Commandments back into schools. I mean, Arkansas and Georgia and Texas and some of these states doing that, that's massive as well. So just a lot of good stuff happening towards the rebuilding of liberty. But let's stick with the topic for the day, which is the enumeration and President Trump's order that it be redone correctly. And I'm just going to read this one line one more time. Illegally, people who are in our country illegally will not be counted in the census. This is huge, folks. I'm telling you. Big. I did want to read real quick one comment from one of the folks in the chat. My buddy Jeff Latham said, if we are not good stewards of America and wake up, we could damage it or lose it. Our children and our children's children depend on us today. You know, Jeff, there's this great quote from Ronald Reagan where he talks about, if we don't have informed citizenship, informed patriotism, if we don't have a restoration of civic ritual, which is why we're doing the whole 250th thing over the next year, is that if we don't do that, that we could be telling our children and our children's children what it was once like to live in America where men were free. So your quote there reminds me of that. I don't want to be telling my children's children, my grandchildren, which I have five of them now, and it's the best job on the planet, by the way. Number five still in the oven, but on the way. I don't want to be telling them how it used to be that I could say whatever I wanted on radio, that I had freedom of speech, but I can't do that anymore because the experts have decided that it's disinformation or misinformation. I don't want to have to tell my kids that, used to you decided as a healthy person when you went to work, when you went to church, the pastor decided when to open the church, but not now because we've given all of our power over to these emergency powers, over to these politicians to decide when we can live and move and freely in our country. I don't want to have to do that. And if we're going to save the country, then Jeff's exactly right. We've got to be good stewards. Good biblical citizens are good stewards of the talents we've been given, including this amazing talent of freedom. All right, let's go to the phones. 888-589-8840 is the phone number, and we're going to start with Julie in Illinois. Julie, you are up first. And, sorry, guys, in the studio, if y'all, my application closed out. Let me see if I can get it back up, or y'all can go ahead and open up Julie on the line, calling in from Illinois. Julie, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Can you hear
all
me?
All right. Go for it. By the way, one of my favorite members of Congress, Mary Miller's from your state.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just wanted to clarify, in your step 10, you say only citizens will be counted, or only people in this country legally?
Only citizens. Like, even if a person's here legally, let's say they're visiting from wherever, Denmark, Mexico, Nigeria, doesn't matter. Any continent, any nation, if they're visiting in our country and they're here legally, they apply to come. Or they apply to come and work here and get a work visa to be here. Do you think they should be counted in our citizenship in our enumeration, which determines the representation of the citizens. That's what it's for.
Right. So I'm just curious how you get around the language of the Constitution, which said, you know, which obviously originally was not intended to include only citizens, because it included Indians not taxed and 3/5 of enslaved people, and then it counted all other persons. So I'm wondering how you get around that originalist language that clearly does not only include citizens.
Well, it's not including Indians that are not taxed. It excludes
Indians. Right, not including Indians not taxed. Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is that's evidence of the fact that if someone is not a participating citizen of the country, so that would be somebody that's not getting, you know, they're not paying taxes, they're not participating in the support of the country. Almost like, they're not quite the same, but almost the same as the in the 14th Amendment, the language that says that you're actually subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It's not quite the same, but it's close. Now, I get your point on slaves, because now you've got people that they don't have a choice. And of course, that's the 3/5 compromise, which, by the way, for those of you that aren't familiar with the 3/5 compromise, that does not mean that a person is only valued at 3/5. That was actually meaning that if you're a slave state, if you're still keeping slavery because you're a racist Democrat, then you get less representation in Congress. We have free black people in these other states, and if you're a free citizen, you're counted wholly. But if somebody's going to keep you as a slave, if they're going to keep slavery, we're not going to give them more representation in Congress. So it's actually an anti-slavery clause that the pro-slavery folks at the Constitutional Convention demanded would happen. They're like, we're not going to let you enslave people and then count them towards your representation in Congress. So they reduced it. So the whole point is that you're counting people that are participating, and the less you let them participate, the less you get to count them. And so if you have a person that's here completely illegally, shouldn't be here at all, they should be counted not 3/5, not 2/5, not whole fifths, not 5/5, but 0/5. And that's essentially what the president's saying. So it really is keeping with the spirit of the Constitution and, frankly, the actual language of the Constitution. I do think it'd be great to have a constitutional amendment to clarify it and say you got to have a voter ID to vote, only citizens can vote, and we only count citizens when we're doing the enumeration. Hope that makes sense. All right, we got Sherry calling in from Oklahoma next. Sherry, go ahead. You're up next.
Hello, Rick. I am so excited. I'm just as excited as you are. I've been hearing you talk about it for a while, and I'm praying about it. I'm ready to go knock on doors if I need to get an accurate count.
Amen.
Sounds like that might not be necessary, but I'm just sharing that excitement with you and wondering what we can do right here as Oklahoma Republicans to help get this done.
It's somebody on chat just told me. Yeah, you're right. So Sherry from Oklahoma calling. For those of you that are on watching the Tavern on Facebook or X or YouTube, Sherry is asking what we can do. So she's excited, saying, I'm ready to go knock on doors and do part of the counting. You actually can volunteer for the census or go to work for the census. They'll pay you hourly to go door to door, and we need people to do that. It's not great pay, and it's not exactly fun work. It's sort of a citizen duty, I would say. It's kind of like serving on a jury. You get paid little bitty money, but we need good people on the jury. So Sherry, that's a great point. I hadn't even thought about calling on citizens to be willing to be part of a massive enumeration where we actually do a full-blown headcount with no statistical manipulation or extrapolation, as Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has called for. I think your spirit is exactly right, Sherry. You're spot on. We need to be getting ready to volunteer for that. I believe the normal enumeration counting will not start till about 2029. I think that's when they begin it. But if President Trump's order is followed, then granted, again, like I said earlier, they can figure this out from the data without going back and do the headcount in terms of time is of the essence, and they got to get this done in time for the 2026 election. But then they should turn around and do an actual headcount and do it the right way, possibly for 2028, but certainly for 2030. For what would be released at that point. So, Sherry, I love you. I love that call. Very, very good. Phone number is 888-589-8840. Let me get some of the folks on the in the chat that are asking questions as well. You're right, Martha, Pastor Jimmy, and Annette, always a step ahead. No doubt. Question from Luke, when could we expect something like this to be completed? Is it reasonable to be concluded before the midterms? Well, that's my point. I don't think you can completely redo it in time. But, man, I've watched them throw out district lines at the last minute. And you know, usually that was the courts saying, oh, you weren't racist enough. Because that's what the courts do. Anytime the courts step in with these, you know, you have to have a certain number of whites or blacks or reds or yellows, they're being racist, okay? If you draw your district lines based on the color of skin instead of just the number of people, you're being a racist. There's no other way to look at it. You are a racist if you use race to make your decision. And so the courts, unfortunately, in the last few years, have thrown out congressional lines under this insane theory of saying you didn't get the end result that we wanted. You didn't elect someone that was black or that was white or that was red or that was brown or whatever color you want to call it. That is so wrong, so anti-biblical. It's supposed to be neither Jew nor Greek, neither rich nor poor. You judge everybody by the content of their character, as MLK said, and not the color of their skin. And so they have messed that up big time. But I've watched them do that at the last minute, like just weeks before the filing deadline. And then everybody's got to scramble. Oh, the district's changed. I got to move, or I got to change which district I'm filing in. I mean, that's just the way it's done. And so if they've done that in the past, they can do it again, which means that in reality, the president and the, you know, Department of Commerce, the census, which I guess is under the within the Department of Commerce. I can't remember how where that's structured. We have too many agencies, but I'm assuming that's the case if that's who he's ordered to redo it. If the Department of Commerce and the census gets this done, even in the next 60 days, 90 days, shouldn't take 2 days, honestly. But if they can just go in, look at the data, remove the illegal aliens, reapportion, send that information back to the states, and then the states would have, if they did that quickly, which they should do, the states would have several months, their own redistricting, everybody know, and then the candidates can start running within those lines. But I think what'll probably happen, I'm just, you know, based on 30 years of being in this game, I think more than likely it's going to take at least a month, maybe the full 60 days that I just threw out. Between the legal challenges, there'll be all kinds of injunctions attempted. It'll go all the way to the Supreme Court. And whether or not they grant an injunction to stop this from happening, I can't guarantee. Because, you again, Thomas and Alito have called for this kind of thing, so they'll definitely support the president. But Gorsuch and Barrett and Kavanaugh and Roberts are always, it's up in the air. You know, they're 80%ers, so they're there 80% of the time. I don't know where they'll be on this, and I haven't looked at where they've been on this issue in the past. But let's assume, just assume for a second, that they uphold it. In that case, then, you know, let's say it takes 60 days to get through all of that. And so now we're into almost, let's just say, mid-October. Well, then your legislative bodies, your state legislative bodies, will have to come in for a special session. And they'll, you know, they can do it within 2 weeks. I mean, Texas, this whole fight right now where the Democrats have fled, went off and hid like little babies, those congressional lines were ready to go as soon as they called the special session. And I think you would probably have essentially the same thing, where a special session would get called. Within a week, they can have those new lines drawn. They can pass it, release it, and then you've still got at least 30, maybe 60, maybe even 75 days before the filing deadline. And so people that are looking to run in those new districts or figure out where they're running, that can all be figured out by the end of the year. And that's all you need to be able to do this thing. Now, I know that's a shorter campaign or shorter fuse than a lot of people like, but it's been done in the past, can absolutely be done again. We do that with special elections all the time. And that would mean if all of that was solved by January 1, 2026, then let's take Texas, for instance. We've got a March primary. You got 2.5 months to run in whatever that new district is. So it can absolutely be done. 100% should be done. Absolutely constitutional to do this. I mean, and I'm sorry for those of you that are watching in the tavern and not listening on radio. You didn't hear the question. The question was, how can you say that you should not be counting people that are here illegally or just here visiting? Maybe they're here legally, but they're not citizens. That you shouldn't be counting them and still look at the original language of the Constitution. That's why I answered the way that I did. And so, you know, let's just break that down. I don't think the caller was saying, let's go ahead and keep counting illegal citizens. I think the caller was saying, how can you not count people that are here legally, like slaves or Indians or the others that are mentioned in the original language of the Constitution? And the main point here is to not count illegal aliens. Okay, that one shouldn't be, that should not be hard to argue. Anyone reading the Constitution, anyone with common sense for what a nation should do. Name me another nation that lets you come to into their nation illegally and be counted towards their population for how they're going to divide up their constitutional republic, the ones that have one. Name another nation that lets you come in illegally and then vote like we have people all over this country allowing people to do, these city councils and some state legislatures allowing that to happen. Insanity, absolute insanity, and completely destroying the fabric of a constitutional republic. So this is a step in that direction. If I'm reading the president's statement correctly, all he's saying is we will not count illegal. If you're here illegally, you will not be counted. And that should be common sense. And that absolutely falls in line with and is congruent with the spirit of the Constitution and the original language of the Constitution. Now, of course, the original language of the Constitution gets changed by the ending of slavery, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, by essentially saying, you know, we're making, you know, once we went away from having Indians that are no longer not taxed or no longer just on a reservation and not a citizen of the country. I mean, a lot of those things have changed over the years, but the spirit of it is pretty simple. Are you subject to the jurisdiction of America? That's the language in the 14th Amendment. If you're subject to the jurisdiction of America, if you're a citizen here in America, then you've got ownership in this thing, and you should be counted towards how we divide up our constitutional republic representation. And you should be able to participate in that constitutional republic representation by voting. That's it. That's all we're asking for. And what do you know? We have a president of the White House that's going to do it. All right, folks, thanks for listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Be sure and join Walker tomorrow, and I'll be back with you next Tuesday. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.